Story number 8, NSA old news made new news. Welcome to my world of 1998. I'm always stunned when the NSA story rolls out in the major media as it has with the Edward Snowden revelations. And what is happening is an education. What happened with the Edward Snowden revelations is we got a giant corporate media education in many facets of the NSA system that have been operating for quite some time. And so it's dawning, one person said, we've all been imbued with the I spy consciousness. It's finally occurred to everyone that everything we say and do is tracked, is listened to, is recorded, and is sort of managed with artificial intelligence. And that includes all of this being used, as I said, for economic warfare and an insider trading operation. What we're seeing is a realization of many of the things I wrote about in my Data Beast article. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to read it. But these are all sort of the things that I got a giant education to when I was engaged in litigation with the federal government in 1998. I know you've heard Franklin Sanders and me say, as in response to the story, well, welcome to our world. There is no doubt that the invasiveness of the information systems has become quite extraordinary, whether through the phone system, whether through the internet, whether through media, whether through now the smart meters on our house. And they're very chilling. They're very chilling issues. If you look at the corporation who ran the database technology or provided the database technology to the Germans during the Holocaust, as Edwin Black has written about, it's the same corporation which is appears to be the lead contractor on the U.S. Census and is providing a lot of the software for the smart meters, and also does a lot of IT for U.S. Government agencies that have very rich databases. And if you look at the potential for aggregating all this data into all sorts of databases and using them for a whole variety of purposes, the whole thing is quite chilling. We see from those revelations real concern in Europe, because it's come out, and I posted a commentary from William Blum on this topic, that we're listening to everybody, including people in Europe and Asia, are supposed to be our allies and using that information to compete and basically dirty trick them in the marketplace. So this conversation about the NSA and what we're doing with this data for economic warfare purposes is very chilling. And is permitting a kind of global control that is essential if you run the reserve currency. Let me just quote an interview that came out of Germany this morning by a German banker. He said, since 1997-2004, the U.S. was changed from an income-driven economy into an economy whose economic performance is determined by political control of asset prices. The purpose of the principle of the free market is in substantial parts connected to this. This is a core cause of all our crises that we currently encounter. Well, I've talked for many years about, as various people in the financial world have predicted collapse, I've said, no, the dollar's not going to collapse. We're going to continue to slow burn, and the dollar's going to be strong. And one of the reasons the dollar's going to be strong is we are running a taxation system through the balance sheet. And that's what the German banker is referring to when he talks about the political control of asset prices. And so we print dollars and then swap them for natural resources and then continue to debase the dollars as they go down. And that's a taxation system through the balance sheet, and that is made possible by an enforcement bureaucracy globally, both through the military and the intelligence apparatus. But part of what makes that go is these kinds of information systems that gives us superior intelligence about what everybody and everything is doing. And if you're going to manage, if you're going to have assert political control of asset prices, you have to have this kind of intelligence and sort of real-time dynamic intelligence, and that's how it's being used. Again, I would refer you to my article, The Data Beast. And and we involve that, or that's part of also applying it when you control the SWIFT and the other clearance systems increasingly around the world. So there's a double bind here. I see Americans want the dollar to be strong. They want their bank deposits to have value. They want their treasury bills to have value. On one hand, on the other hand, this is what the infrastructure is doing to make sure that that the dollar remains the reserve currency and doesn't collapse. So if there is any one capacity within the intelligence and military agencies that keeps the dollar as the reserve currency, it's these kinds of intelligence gathering and surveillance systems. And I think this gets us back to the red button problem that I've talked about so many times. We're running a system that operates through and by force, and we're financially dependent on that force. And it's hard to turn around to the people who are operating that system by force and saying, we don't want you to do that, because there is a hypocrisy, because we don't want them to push the red button when we do survey after survey saying, do you want them to? But it's a matrix moment for many of us. I put a poster that went around the internet up on the blog. It says, how can pedophiles, serial killers, and rapists operate when they're listening to everything we say and do? And that's a very good question. They can't, in theory. And it reminds me of a magical moment I had once in 1998. I was dealing with very, very significant physical harassment and surveillance, and kept trying to hire security firms who would show up and do a background check and say, oh, no, it's much too dangerous, we can't help you. And here I was, a very wealthy, successful person. You know, I'd been an assistant secretary of housing. I'd been a partner in a Wall Street firm. And yet there was no one I could go to. I was the target of constant criminal behavior, you know, my car being, and my person being followed, my house being broken into, my car being run off the road, all these kinds of things. And there was no one I could go to. It was very, very lawless. And so, you know, what I discovered is that the folks I was dealing with had the ability to act outside the law with impunity, and there was nothing I could do. And I was sitting in my I had a, at the time I had a black Corvette, and I was sitting in a traffic jam on New York Avenue, and I was watching this really crazy beggar, this is a sort of crazily dressed African-American beggar walking up and down the sidewalk in the middle of the traffic on New York Avenue. And I suddenly froze and realized, you know, if they could do what they were doing to me, they could certainly require that beggar to never walk up and down and do his crazy act on New York Avenue. And that's when I realized, oh, if he's there, they want him to be there, you know, and the bell rang. And that was my, you know, my sort of matrix moment. So it's the right question to ask, how can the pedophiles, serial killers, and rapists operate if we have total information awareness? Very good question. And it's one we all need to think about. What it means to you is there is no privacy. I often have somebody tell me, oh, I don't have to pay taxes, I bought those coins with cash. Wrong. You know, there are no secrets. It's one of the reasons I'm always saying never, ever, ever break the law. You need to be very careful and good with your compliance and your paperwork, because there is no privacy, and it's just the way the world is. I remember at one point I used to worry about that. And in 1998, I was very worried about the surveillance. I had somebody call me up and say, you know, they have video cameras inside your house. Well, who knows if it was true or not, but it can certainly be chilling to have somebody tell you that. And I went to church that Sunday, and my pastor had worked up a whole head of steam, and he said, you know, you're worried about what other people think. You just need to worry about what God thinks. And I realized, oh, you know, if I just worry about what God and I think about my behavior, I don't need to worry about anybody else. So if you just worry about that, and you worry about being compliant with the law and your paperwork, you really don't need to worry about what anybody else says or does or thinks.